Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two now officially underway here for the early line. SiriusXM channel 159 on Sports Grid Network. Joe and Donnie here. And this hour is going to be action-packed. We got a lot of Major League Baseball to get to, but also the Stanley Cup playoffs in full effect right now. Two games were on the card last night, Joe. The Hurricanes, a 6-1 victory over the Devils. And this is a game that the Devils, the previous game, scored eight times, only one goal in this game. The ebbs and flows are amazing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA. We see it all the time. But talking about seizing control of the series, the Hurricanes now certainly did that with that big-time win in New Jersey.
Yeah, and the entire game was won and lost in 5 minutes in the second period, in which the Hurricanes, it was a 1-1 game, and then the Hurricanes in 5 minutes scored five goals, and then it was lights out for the Devils. So interesting, though, 17-3 is what the Hurricanes have outscored the Devils in their three wins. So there's obviously a disconnect here with the number two seeded Hurricanes and the number three seeded Devils. But again, this is a young Devils team, Donnie. This team will be around for quite a while. They will learn how to make adjustments in the future in series like this. You can't be outscored 17-3 in your losses and expect that you still have some sort of chance to win a Stanley Cup. Things have to even out here. It's do or die for them. They've allowed the Hurricanes in one period in those three wins to actually maul them and stick a fork in them. That can't happen at this point, but they will get better over time, that's for sure.
Yep, they tried to even up the series last night, weren't able to do so. Another team that evened up their series, that was the Dallas Stars here with a 6-3 victory over the Seattle Kraken. That evens it up. And also, when you take a look at the Kraken on the season, people didn't expect them, A, to make the playoffs, B, to win a round against a formidable opponent, and now C, being in a series that you're up to. They actually could have taken a 3-1 lead, which would have been massive. They weren't able to do that. Talk to me up the Stars' big win last night, and also, it now turns into a best of three. Who actually has the edge here at this point?
Yeah, well, I mean, I still think Dallas has got the edge. I mean, Pavelski again scores last night. There's a lot of experience and talent, especially between the pipes there. That Seattle was interesting, right? I mean, what was that, 7-2 when they scored five goals in the first game there to open it up? Then it was what? The Stars said, yeah, I don't think so. The Stars very rarely, and this is something the Devils will learn, you can't have kind of back-to-back terrible games. They had their terrible game, and what did they do? They bounce back here, tie this series up, and I got to believe that Dallas has got, and I love Seattle. I think it's a great story, but Dallas is just, there's levels to this, and Dallas, I think, is a level above.
And we're taking a look at the series prices here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, the Dallas Stars, a -220 price to advance over the Seattle Kraken. If you like Seattle in this in a 2-2 series, they are at a +176 price. Let's take a look at the NHL action tonight. It is a doubleheader, East Coast, West Coast. The Toronto Maple Leafs looking to stave off elimination here at a -120 price going up against the Florida Panthers. The total in this game, how about this? You want to talk about juicy? Over 6.5, listed at a -138. Now, if we talk about, there's a lot of people on the network here that are Toronto Maple Leaf fans. And just so I can ingratiate myself to them, it's not Toronto, right, Joe? It's the Toronto Maple Leafs here. What are the chances that they can advance down 3-0 in this series? We don't think it's going to be very high. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. You're watching and listening live to SiriusXM Channel 159. This is the early line on the Sports Grid Network with Joe and Donnie. Down 0-3, 3-0, however you want to match it up. What are the chances that the Maple Leafs even push this game to a Game 5?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Let me think. Zero, I think. Yes, I'm fairly certain this game is over. The series is over. Toronto has shown that they, and we've seen this a lot in the NHL playoffs over the years. You got a team up 3-0. Even when Toronto is playing its best, it still hasn't been good enough. And there's a lot of holes in this Toronto team. I mean, while, yes, they've got monster names, they got huge amounts of talent, right? But you know what they don't have? They don't have that toughness that the Panthers have, that edge to them. And that's what's cost them in here. And, you know, not to mention that Bobrovsky is playing out of his mind again right now. Hot goaltenders playing at this level right now and an opportunity to close them out. Yeah, I would expect this thing not to go back to Toronto. It's over tonight in Sunrise, Florida.
Man, how could you get teased so badly as a Maple Leafs fan? You barely may ever make it out of the first round in the past 20 years. You finally get out of the first round. You're actually the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, and you might get swept in round two. But not like, oh, well, Boston we met in round two. No, you met the Florida Panthers, and they swept you out. That's a tough pill to swallow. But I'm going to tell you another one. We just saw 6.5 at a minus 138 price. Take a look at the total in the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. If there's ever a time that you can move it to 7.5 with some juice, it might be the night. 6.5 at a minus 152. The favorite, the Edmonton Oilers, at a minus 184. The Vegas Golden Knights looking to pull the hat trick there, basically, on the road and win both games in Edmonton. Quickly, what are your thoughts here between the Knights and the Oilers?
Just give me first period over, full game over. Woo! I don't care what the juice is. Just give me the overs here. And Edmonton better, and I mean better, show up here tonight. And if they do, that's going to be a ton of goals. Maybe even Oilers team total over. How's that?
Is Canada on the ropes in hockey? Say it ain't so. We'll find out a little bit later tonight, but it's time to talk some Major League Baseball. What happened on the diamond last night? We'll tell you next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Talked to three major sports already. It's time to add a fourth, and that's Major League Baseball. What happened on the diamond last night? If you missed it, a lot happened. And if we take a look here in Baltimore, one of the better home teams in Major League Baseball, now 10-5 on the season, a 4-2 win over the Tampa Bay Rays, which is a rare loss, dropping them to 29-8. Zach Eflin was on the mound. He took the loss for the Rays. I actually thought the Rays were in a really good spot to win another game in Baltimore, but credit that Orioles lineup for timely hitting, getting good pitching here, and winning that ballgame. The 23-13 Baltimore Orioles, Joe.
Well, we previewed this game yesterday, Donnie, and yep. I said, listen, Eflin, he didn't pitch bad, but I just didn't. There was no reason not to take the plus money with Baltimore in this spot at home. Kind of felt like this was going to be an opportunity for them to get right. Rodriguez pitched great. The bullpen pitched great for Baltimore. Very quietly, Donnie, at 23 wins, this Baltimore team. You do realize they're right behind Tampa here. There's only about 4 or 5 wins separating them right now. Bullpen is good. Timely hits. This is a good series here, and this is one that we're going to have to keep an eye on over the next couple of months as well.
Who would have thought ruining your beautiful ballpark at Camden Yards would make for a better baseball team? Well, apparently it's happening in Baltimore as they are 23-13 now on the season. We'll see if that does continue. Another game I was actually surprised by the outcome here, Joe. The Rockies 10, the Pirates 1. A guy yesterday who I was looking to probably fade would have been Seabold. Pitched very well. The Pirates only get 4 hits and get doused at home. So that's 7-game losing streak, which had one day of reprieve. You get rocked by the Rockies here.
Yeah, no, this was a kind of a head scratcher there for the Pirates. Just when you thought, hey, they ended that losing streak, right? Keller pitches a perfect game. The Pittsburgh bullpen well rested. You're thinking, all right, here's where they can begin, to get back on track, put a couple of wins. Nope, 10-1. Seabold wins it, and they end up getting crushed. So, yeah, no, Pittsburgh, unfortunately, even maybe the most head-scratching 21-win team at this point in the season, Donnie.
No, it certainly is. We'll see if they can, you know, continue. But it was one of the things we say, hey, beginning of the schedule, not that hard. You're putting up wins together, play tougher teams, lose. But now you're playing those bad teams technically again. This is where you're supposed to pick up back there. We'll see if the Pittsburgh Pirates can do it. But again, not a ton expected from the Pirates this year. If you would look at their record now and say, hey, that's what it was going to be back in like mid-March. And now as we sit in early May, you would have liked that. So that's where they sit here. But we're talking about liking things and not. The New York Mets are under 500. They're 17-19 on the season after a 7-6 loss to the Reds, who they improved to 15-20 on the season. When we're taking a look at the Mets in a bad rut over the past 2 weeks, question marks on their pitching staff. Showalter ejected last night. This was a team that's supposed to contend for the World Series. Now, granted, it's still early in the season, a long way to go. You just want to stay in striking distance here for at least have a wild card spot. But I think if you asked any honest Mets fan here to be on May 10th to be under 500 and not know where Max Scherzer is going to be. He's supposed to be on the mound last night. Now we don't know how long he's going to be out for. Verlander's going to take the mound today. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But also, he has seen some injuries and struggles early in the season. The New York Mets are in a bad way. And again, got worse yesterday in a 7-6 loss.
Yeah, well, when you lose 12 of your last 15 games, there's going to be some aggravation here. And especially what makes it even worse is that I believe at last check, the New York Mets payroll was $355 million. And when you have $355 million in payroll, you should never in a million years lose 12 out of 15 games in any stretch during the season. But, you know, money spent wisely is different than just throwing money against the wall and seeing what sticks, Donnie, which is kind of what this ownership group seems to be doing. We've seen this in the past. It doesn't work, and it's not working right now for the New York Mets.
Yeah, they figured they dodged a bullet by getting rid of Jacob DeGrom here and not signing him to a couple $100 million contract. He's having issues, obviously, down with the Rangers, but Scherzer having issues now. Verlander starting the season late. Things aren't looking good there for that high-priced pitching staff that the New York Mets have here. Let's move it down to Philadelphia. 8-4 win yesterday over the Toronto Blue Jays. Manoah hasn't been very good on the season. 4 2/3 yesterday, 3 earned runs. He takes the loss in that game. Aaron Nola, efficient. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 Ks, 8-4. But how about this? Last year, Nick Castellanos comes over as a big signing as a free agent. Struggles for most of the year, but now seems to be finding his way in Philadelphia. Knocks a home run out of the ballpark and hitting. 317 on the season. The offense comes alive for the Phillies yesterday at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, they did. Boom. And we kind of thought we know what they're capable of. But the biggest question to me was Nola. What were we going to get from him? 2 runs, 5 hits on 6 innings. We'll take that more often than not, Danny. We got no problem with that. Let the bats and let this lineup do their thing. I was a little worried once they had to go to the bullpen. Again, it continues to be a little bit head-scratching in Philadelphia. But good win there. Also an easy over in this one, too. Yep. As is Manoah, did he just pitch above his head last year? Is that what happened here? And everyone anticipated it was only going to get better, because it's not getting better for Alex Manoah.
No, it's not. And it's actually very surprising here, Joe, because that's one of that young power pitchers in the game that you thought would be taking that next step. The brash, the bravado, you saw him in the All-Star game. He's mic'd up. He likes to challenge hitters. But the pitchers certainly like to be challenged by him right now, because they're getting the best of him here. It'll be interesting to see the rest of the season for Alec Manoah, but certainly pitching way below what we say his pay grade technically would be here. How about this? It's alive! The New York Yankees offense, my goodness, 10-5 over the Athletics. But here's what I want to say. It's great that the Yankees got 10 runs, and maybe you're supposed to score 10 runs against the Athletics, but I always like these type of environments where you say, hey, Joe, before the game, let me give you a little bit of tip. One player on the Athletics is going to hit 3 home runs all by himself, and I'm going to give you 4.5 runs as a cushion. What? You would think it was a 10-5 win by the A's. Not the case. 3 home runs by one guy, and you lose by 5 runs? That's tough to do.
Well, I'll give you even one worse, right? You're getting home run production from one dude there, right? And yet, the Athletics are still minus 134 runs on the season. Yeah. They are on pace, Donnie, to actually be minus 587 run differential by the end of the year. I don't think we've ever, little league teams, terrible little league teams are not minus 587 runs. That's what the Athletics are. Good win for the Yankees. It's about time. Maybe they can play Oakland, I don't know, for the next month and a half. Is that possible? Just rearrange the schedule a little bit because they have no problem beating the A's, but then again, neither does anybody else.
Now, let me tell you something, Las Vegas, if you guys are watching out there, and I know you are. The A's sit at 8-29. They're asking for $500-plus million to help them build a ballpark. You're going to come out to watch that? My goodness, A's. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, pulling the wool over a city's eyes, maybe the Athletics are going to do that to Las Vegas here because they certainly stink on the field, and it might be years away from them actually being quality again. You know who's quality? The Braves, 25-11 on the season, knocking off the Red Sox down to 21-16. I thought we would get an over in this game, maybe powered by the Red Sox, but it's actually powered by the Braves as they scored 9 times in a big-time win yesterday.
Well, we had said, too, maybe an early look to the over in this one, and it worked out pretty well there, Donnie, because they opened it up with, I think, 4 runs in the first inning, Atlanta, and they never looked back after that. So, big win, 9-3 there, and there's levels to this, right? So, it's going to be interesting to see. Red Sox have a nice little stretch here early. Can those bats keep them afloat? That's going to be the big question.
It is going to be a big question. The one question I think we answered yesterday, though, Astros and the Angels staying under the total with a 3-1 final here. The Angels only able to muster 3 hits in that game, but cruising. Yeah. The Pens held it down last night.
Yeah, 7 innings for, what did he strike out? 7, I think, good old Ohtani there. We knew Valdez and Ohtani were going to be hell of a pitcher's battle, and that's exactly what we got.
Doubleheader in the NBA tonight, but you know what's perfect? Major League Baseball takes over in the afternoon. We'll preview that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball talk here on the early line. Why? Because games today will be early across the board. Love to see it midweek. Some getaway games. Fantastic stuff because we want to focus a lot of our attention on the NBA at night. But let's get to the Bronx and start it off here. The Oakland Athletics and the New York Yankees first pitch here scheduled for 12:35. A monster favorite for the New York Yankees. At a minus 250 price and a total listed at 9. So immediately when you see minus 250, oh, who's that? Gerrit Cole on the mound today? No, it's Brito on the mound today. Would you pay a minus 250 price for a W today for the New York Yankees, Joe?
Absolutely not under any circumstances, although they did get Judge back, which was nice to see here, and they started to score some runs here against Oakland, and they're probably going to score some runs here against Mueller, but I would only look towards team totals along those lines for the Yankees. I think it's 5 or 5.5. I think that's probably the smarter, more reasonable way to go approach betting the Yankees as opposed to laying 235, even against the poor Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, we'll probably get some runs in this game, too, because you take a look at Mueller, the left-handed pitcher, excellent, 5.91 on the season, 391 weighted on base average to lefties, and he's a left-handed 385 to right-handed, but also keep in mind, he has an elevated number here in walks. Now, granted, he's had 164 batters, so you do have a decent sample size to work off of, and the first 7 batters in the Yankees lineup at least 10% or higher walk rate here, which includes Gleyber Torres at a 21% walk rate. Then we take a look at Brito on the opposite side. He does have a high xFIP number, but you're also going up against the Oakland Athletics lineup, which yesterday was interesting. Again, those 3 home runs hit by one guy in the lineup. We'll see if that continues today, but I do think that we are going to score some runs. The Colorado Rockies and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, the Pirates hope they score some runs today in their game, but they are also a favorite today. It's going to be Senzatella on the mound. Limited action for him so far in 2023 going up against the veteran Rich Hill. A minus 148 price here for the Pittsburgh Pirates and a total of 8.5.
Yeah, very strange team here. I mean, do not understand the Pirates, but a very young team. They had some success early. They're trying to figure some things out. But can I tell you about Rich Hill, 100 years old? I mean, and up until his last start, I think he's won three of his last four there. And he's actually figured some things out mechanically. His numbers aren't that bad, Donnie, as you can see here. And call me crazy. Pirates in a early afternoon game, not a bad price to bounce back after that drubbing yesterday. I'm looking to back the Pirates early and often, maybe even in the first five.
Yeah, time to get some win streaks going here as opposed to losing, losing, and more losing here. And you're right about Rich Hill. It does have a high xFIP. He's dominated left-handed batters. Granted, he is a left-handed pitcher, but from right-handed batters, 381 weighted on base percent is an ISO of 281, which isn't very good at all. But when you look at that lineup here for the Colorado Rockies today, only three players here with high weighted on base percentages against left-handed pitching. So it's one of those, who do you trust more, the veteran pitcher or that lineup here for the Colorado Rockies that scored 10 runs yesterday? Which was pretty impressive. Let's keep moving down the list here. Another afternoon game, 1:41 start. That's the Dodgers and the Brewers. How about this? Clayton Kershaw's on the mound to take on Wade Miley, a favorite here for the Dodgers on the road at a -164 price and a total that sits at 8. Kershaw's been very good this year, Joe. Does it continue today?
It should, yes. Miley has also, though, really shown up for the Brewers this year, hasn't he? Two runs or fewer in four of his six starts so far this year. Teams are not hitting the ball very well. It feels like an under spot in this game here, given what we know about these two pitchers.
It does feel like an underspot here because if you're looking at Miley, he actually has a high xFIP at a 5.39. But here's where, again, those analytics sometimes collide. So you figure he's due to get shelled, but he hasn't yet. Weighted on base average to lefties at 235, to righties at 262, which is really good. Now flip it over to Clayton Kershaw, 3.42 xFIP number and dominant between both lefties and righties. Again, Kershaw, left-handed pitcher, lefties at 245, weighted on base percentage, righties a 252. Nine. So maybe we see less runs than maybe what we're accustomed to seeing. And also, Kershaw, how long can he keep this up here for the Dodgers? Because certainly, if you're going to make a postseason run, it would be nice to have Kershaw available here, which means you don't want to stretch him too much out in the months of April, May, and June. Let's take a look at another afternoon game, which technically is a 12:45 start on the West Coast, but 3:46 on the East Coast. That's the Nationals and the Giants. The Giants are going to run out Manea on the mound, who's been bad this year, going up against Josiah Gray. The favorite here for the San Francisco Giants, a -152, and a total listed at 8.5.
Yeah, you know, Josiah Gray, you either love him, you hate him, you believe in him, or you don't. Manea has had his issues, like you said. I thought he was actually going to be a little bit better. I thought there were signs that we might get a little bit better Manea this year, but it hasn't turned out. You got the 25-year-old Gray, who's got electric stuff, I mean, but trying to either of these two to get it done. Gray's already beaten San Francisco once in his career. I don't know. This, again, another one of these under possible situations here because don't trust either lineup all that much, but don't trust the pitchers either in this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one, too, and that's why sometimes you bring up these games, which aren't great necessarily just from a viewing perspective, but do have some interesting oddities here because Manea, the left-handed pitcher, he's been bad this year for San Francisco, 5.31 xFIP number, and also left-handed batters, he's faced 30 of those. They got a 3.46 weighted on base percentage. Righties are at a 4.13, but then you take a look at Gray, who has actually had some decent starts. It around outside basically it was like his opening start. He's been certainly serviceable here, so taking a look at him dominating left-handed bats, which he's going to see today, maybe that does keep this game certainly under the total. How about this one over the total yesterday? What do we get today between the Blue Jays and the Philadelphia Phillies? Gausman is going to be on the mound for the Blue Jays, Wheeler for the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies a slight favorite today, Joe, at a -116 price and a total of 8.5.
Yeah, Gausman has had a couple of interesting starts here. Wheeler, is he starting to figure it out? Are we like Nola yesterday? Can we count on Wheeler to limit the damage here and get this done in a 4:05 game? Listen, 8.5. Don't like either bullpen. I would lean towards the over and say maybe, just maybe. I believe it's a nice weather day there, Donnie. You would know that on that side. But it does feel like maybe the over might be the best play here, given the uncertainty that we've seen between Gausman and Wheeler this year.
Yeah, cooler start to the day here in Philadelphia. You know, temperatures in like the low 40s, but it looks like it's going to get up to 70 degrees today. Just trying to check those wind conditions. So 73 degrees at first pitch. Light winds, 5 miles an hour. It looks like they're blowing out to right field, so that should help. But also, you are taking a look at Gausman here. If you say, hey, how's he been doing on the season? 2.83 xFIP, which is absolutely. But here's the issue. Two of the last four starts, he's actually been bombed out. So we'll see if he can have a bounce-back start today. And we know the Toronto bats are very good. But Zach Wheeler has been good also here in 2023, an xFIP of 3.69, and also very good splits, particularly with ISO power numbers between lefty and righty batters today. So maybe we do see an under, but also if Gausman bounces back, you might see a pitcher's duel between Gausman and also Zach Wheeler. If we keep moving down the list here, a lot of really good games on the baseball card today. The Angels and the Astros going to get it going in the afternoon. 4:08 start on the East Coast. Obviously out West, that's a 1:08 start. Javier versus Canning, a minus 126 favorite here for the Houston Astros with a total listed at 9.5. Any thoughts today on this afternoon action between the Angels and the Astros?
Yeah, well, I mean, a nice little way to end a three-game losing streak there going up against Ohtani. So you would think they'd have no problem getting to Canning, right? Well, we're going to find out here. I do think that total, again, 9.5. So we didn't get a whole lot of runs last night. Didn't think we would. We did the night before. I think the bats get it going for both these teams against Javier and Canning, couple of righties here that have had some problems, needless to say, so far this season. So I got no problem looking at a, how about a nice little free-for-all here going out, home runs all over the place here in this Angels-Astros game.
The interesting part about the Astros, they just haven't woken up yet in the 2023 season, and maybe they're just waiting for, you know, Jose Altuve to come back and start to power that lineup through, because you are right about Canning. Hasn't had a great season so far in 2023. An xFIP of 5, a K rate just above 20%, but also when you take a look at the split, 31 weighted on base average to righties, a 329. But if we flip it over here to Javier, he's got some interesting splits also. A higher xFIP of 4.50. K rate's decent, walk rate's decent, but he actually has some pretty good splits weighted on base average here. A 272 weighted on base average to lefties, a 296 to righties, which is good, but he does have slightly elevated ISO power numbers from both sides of the plate. Maybe a Trout, maybe Ohtani goes deep, which also, your second here. The Astros, the way we look at them for the season, we know the pedigree is there to either cheat and or win championships. They're still not playing great baseball now. Do we think that they will recover this season and be a player here for the playoffs?
Yeah, until I see otherwise, a lot of experience, still like this team fundamentally. They do got to get a little healthier in that rotation, though. Still some concerns there with the starting pitching, but the bullpen, solid enough. And once those, like you said, once those bats get going, once Bregman finally starts hitting here, I think they'll, and Altuve, if he ever going to come back, I think they'll be just fine.
And take a look here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the World Series odds. I mean, we're not really pushing them really off the pedestal. The Atlanta Braves at a 5-1, the Rays at a plus 650, the Dodgers plus 650, and then they're the Astros right there at a 7-1 price. It's a good organization. They should be able to recover here, but we got a lot more Major League Baseball action to go over. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More Major League Baseball. Who says no? Guys, right here on the early line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri. Get down to Baltimore here. The Tampa Bay Rays and the Baltimore Orioles. Beeks versus Kramer on the mound today. Slight favorite here for the Tampa Bay Rays at a minus 122 price, but a total, you'll like this, Joe, for 9.5. Are we seeing runs down there today? And also a Tampa Bay bounce back.
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard not to think, are we going to get maybe a little losing streak here for Tampa? Uh-oh. Could that be it? My goodness. But I'll tell you this, Baltimore again yesterday, just 2 of 7, Donnie, with runners in scoring position. However, that bullpen was good enough there to be able to limit the damage from the Tampa Bay Rays here. 2 for 29 is what they were in with runners in scoring position over the last three games. So Baltimore having a hard time driving in runs when it matters. We know Tampa does not have that problem. Feel like it's a cheap price to get the Rays here again. Might have to go back with Tampa at this price here.
I think you're right here. If you take a look at Chirinos on the mound today, a 5.31 xFIP number. He's faced roughly 60 batters, but this, again, is one of those interesting anomalies where it looks like he's supposed to get rocked, but you take a look at his numbers. They don't even make any sense here. 26 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, a 120 weighted on base percentage and a zero ISO. Flip it over to right-hand side here, a 238 base percentage and an 098 ISO. So he should be able to hold the lineup down for the Baltimore Orioles, which then brings us up to Kramer. Not a very good pitcher here. 5.18 xFIP on the season, a K rate below 20%. And how about left-handed batters? A 408 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 197. And also to right-handed batters, Kramer being a right-handed pitcher, he has struggled a little bit. No better lineup out there that projects right now better than the Tampa Bay Rays. You do look at this and you say, scratch my head a little bit. Why does this line seem so cheap out here? Well, it is Major League Baseball. It is a road game. And also the Baltimore Orioles are a very good home team and a decent team overall here in 2023. But I think I'm with you here. I think the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays get back on it at that minus 122 price. And I do think they hit the baseball, maybe a team total as well. Because the one thing that we do like with team totals with the road team, we get a full 27 outs no matter what happens actually in the game. All right, center stage here in Major League Baseball. All eyes on the New York Mets. Why? They've been playing terrible baseball over the past couple weeks here. Injuries lining up on the pitching staff. Verlander, who the last game he just pitched, which was his first start of the year, gave up 2 solo home runs in the first inning, then sort of held the fort down the rest of the way. He's going to go up against Hunter Green, the young flamethrower here for the Reds, a minus 172 favorite here for the New York Mets, and a total listed at 9. Give me the vibes here, Joe, for your thoughts on the Mets today. And also, boy, they really need a good Verlander start today, don't they?
Yeah, no, they absolutely do here. And are they going to get it? I mean, listen, Hunter Green is also can throw pretty well and miss some bats, right? But are we convinced that Verlander at this point can miss enough bats at the Great American Ballpark, Donnie? How many more runs do we have to see before we start realizing this ballpark is made for overs here? Especially what, tonight supposed to be a little warmer weather. If you believe Verlander is going to be even better this start here as he works up, then yep, maybe I'd look to Mets. If not, I still am looking at an over in this matchup here because I don't trust either, quite honestly, to be able to miss enough bats in this one to keep it under.
Similar conditions here in this game, Joe, to what we're going to see in Philadelphia. 73, 74 degrees at first pitch, light wind blowing out to right field, so I think that will help. If we take a look at Green on the season, he does have a pretty good K rate here at 31%, dominant against left-handed batters, which we'll see quite a few of those. Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, Batty, and Vogelbach in the lineup today. To right-handed batters, a little bit of a different story for him. A 393 weighted on base percentage against. That might be a little bit of his undoing here, but a lot of lefties, as I said, do up in the lineup. Verlander, it's going to be interesting because, again, only 20 at-bats on the season. You expect a bounce-back performance because his ISO power numbers are high because he did give up 2 home runs in that game. We'll see if it turns around. But if you're looking for the Mets here that really need a big start from one of their aces, that's going to be what we're looking at certainly for tonight here. Boston and Atlanta. We don't have lines officially up because we're not sure exactly who the starting pitchers will be. The estimate looks like it's going to be Bello here for the Boston Red Sox, 3.93 xFIP on the season. But again, which is interesting, left-handed batters, Joe, 370 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 386. It's the last thing where you want to be if you're playing down in Atlanta against that lineup. But if we take a look at the anticipated pitcher here, possibly for the Atlanta Braves, Schuster, who's been bad on the season, 45 batters he's faced. Take a look at this xFIP, an 8.5. So we don't have odds up yet because we don't know the official starting pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. But if it is Schuster out there, we're probably looking at runs tonight, Joe.
Well, it should have been Freed, except they just put him on the IL for 15, which is not great news, obviously, for the Braves here. But we saw, like we saw last night, they don't have a problem swinging the bat, putting the ball in play, and scoring some runs. And as it turns out, they're probably going to have to do a lot of that here moving forward until they can get some healthy arms back into this rotation. This is a great opportunity for the Red Sox, is it not? Let's go here. You should have been facing Freed, which would have been a daunting task, but now it looks like you're going to be going with a whole bunch of gas cans. Give me the over. I don't see any reason with Bello and whoever Atlanta throws out not to expect runs in this one.
Yeah, exactly. Outside of, like, you know, going up against Strider there or Freed when he's certainly in his, you know, prime, not being injured, you do look for runs down there. And yesterday, Morton was fairly good against that Boston Red Sox lineup that came in hot yesterday. It did hit the over yesterday, and I thought Boston would be a little bit more productive at the plate. They weren't, but it didn't matter because Atlanta certainly did the rest of it. We'll keep moving out here to the Midwest, the Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royals. It's going to be a matinee. No, it's a 7:40 start tonight, so good luck if you're watching an NBA game or if you want to tune in to the White Sox and the Royals tonight. But if we're taking a look at this matchup here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and the lines, how about this? The White Sox, a -138 favorite here and a total listed at 9.5. Yesterday, I thought the White Sox would be able to beat the Royals, and they did. Now looking for two in a row. Keller, not a great pitcher here. The Royals, not a great baseball team. So should the White Sox be able to pick up a W here in Kansas City?
Well, you would think, but they ain't going to get my money. I will, however, you know, watching Keller get destroyed by the Oakland A's last time out was not a whole lot of fun. But I learned my lesson. And listen, Lance Lynn been forking over a whole lot of home run balls here this year. I got no problem looking at an over in this one. Two bad bullpens here as far as I'm concerned. I think Anderson back in the lineup here for the White Sox. Yeah, I got no problem thinking both of these teams who have been hitting the ball hard, good things happen when that happens. And I think both are going to score enough to get this thing up and over into double digits.
81 degrees today. Yesterday, a lot of rain was in the forecast yesterday for that White Sox-Royals game. Not really any rain in the forecast today. 81 degrees. Winds really blowing from the right foul pole to the left foul pole at about 11 miles an hour. So not detrimental here, so we should get runs. And you're right about Lance Lynn. It's a shame here, though, that the Royals don't have a lot of impact batters from the left-hand side, because if you look at through 76 batters, the right-handed Lynn has gone up against a 408 weighted on base percentage coupled with an ISO power number of 304. Take a look at the Chicago White Sox bats. They should be fine today, Joe. Keller, a 6X FIP, low K rate, high walk rate. And by the way, his walk rate, close to 20%. That means that whip rate is going to get cracked around as well. If you get runners on base, that usually spells doom for pitchers. And also, a weighted on base percentage to lefties at 309 to righties at 367. Maybe we are looking at runs today between the White Sox and the Royals. Padres and the Twins, Lugo versus Lopez, a slight favorite here for the Minnesota Twins today at a -130 price and a total listed at 8.5 here. Padres day for you, or the Twins at home is the way to go.
I liked the Padres last night, and that proved to be pretty good here. But we've got Lopez on the mound for the Twins here, and he's actually been pretty darn good for them, has he not? Yeah. Another former Marlin there. I think with this Padres lineup starting to get into a little bit of a groove, we're starting to see Tatis. We're starting to see this ridiculous lineup here maybe start playing to their potential. And then you got Lugo, who was a reliever. Now he's a starter. But, you know, you can see the numbers. They're not terrible. Actually, he's gone a lot further than I thought he would as a starter, if we're being honest here, Donnie. I think when you put it all together, it does feel like maybe an under, again, kind of game here between the Padres and the Twins.
It really does. You take a look at Lopez on the season, a 3.61 xFIP number, but also very good splits here. Lefties, a 250 weighted on base average. Righties, a 305. So certainly that helps out. And then you're right about Lugo, 3.79 xFIP number, which is very good. Low walk rate here. And also, ISO power numbers, both below average. 138 to lefties and an 093 to righties. So maybe we're in for lesser runs than anticipated today in that game. One final game we'll take a look at is the Cardinals and the Cubs. Montgomery will be on the mound here for the Cardinals. And Steele will be on the mound for the Cubs. A minus 112 price here, slight favorite for the Chicago Cubs here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total listed at 8. Cards Cubs today, rivals.
Yeah, no, rivals is right. And both of these guys, like both of these pitchers, couple of lefties here. Steele has been absolutely phenomenal this year. And so has Montgomery. I mean, it hasn't translated into necessarily wins for him, but he's actually been pretty good here. The problem with the Cubs is they can't seem to get hits with runners in scoring position, which is what's causing them to lose these one-run games. They did to the Marlins. They are to the Cards. I don't know that Steele and Montgomery are two guys that are going to give up a ton early in this, so I'm looking at a first five under, Donnie. Don't necessarily trust either bullpen, but I do trust Montgomery and Steele to keep the scoring to a minimum here.
Yeah, and also when you're taking a look there in Chicago, the first thing we always check on is the wind conditions here. Actually blowing in at 9 miles an hour from right center field, only 60 degrees here. So you don't get the help that usually you would take with that 15-mile-an-hour wind blowing to dead center field. Montgomery is a left-handed pitcher. He's been good this year. 4.03 xFIP, which is about average. But take a look at the splits. To lefties, a zero ISO power number. So if you're a left-handed batter, which again, we're only anticipating one being Cody Bellinger, probably going to struggle in this one. But even to right-handed batters, a 304 weighted on base percentage, still below average, as well as his ISO power number at a 154. And you're right about Steele, the left-handed pitcher here for the Chicago Cubs, right around the same xFIP at a 4.10, K right around 20%, but he's been fantastic. Both sides of the plate, to lefties, a 125 ISO power number, to righties in 073, and also the weighted on-base percentage between those two, lefties, 271, righties, 233. So usually you're not hunting for unders here in that ballpark, but you might get one today. And also keep in mind, what's the key in your Wrigley? Typically, with the wind blowing out, you want to keep the ball down. Well, the wind is blowing in, but both of these pitchers, Steele, 52% of the pitchers, 52% of the balls in play, they're grounders. Montgomery, 48%, two ground ball pitchers today. Fantastic stuff. Look at that. We covered the entire Major League Baseball card today, NBA, and also Stanley Cup. How's it feel, Joe? Do you need a break? Do you need a water? What do you need, a towel?
I just got to put all these tickets I just played together here and make sure that when I cash them, they pay out correctly. So that's what I'll be doing the rest of the day.
Same game parlays. We set the table for this one. We expect big time victories here, but on a Wednesday show, Joe alluded to it earlier. I'm going to be talking about the bigs and the return of the big man in the NBA. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right on the early line, it's Joe Ranieri time. He did a great job once again this week. He'll be back next week. I'll be back next segment to close it down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right, final segment of the day for a Wednesday edition of the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri, carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. So many topics that we hit today. A full Major League Baseball card, which includes a lot of afternoon baseball action. Why? Because we have a doubleheader in the NBA. And I'm not saying that Major League Baseball looked in the past and said, you know what? Let's make sure we schedule a lot of games on a Wednesday afternoon because everybody wants to watch the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers. Just saying, that could be the case at this point here. We also talked about some scheduling here in the NFL. We know the international games are going to be played, and also a Week 17 battle for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals, which... yeah, I'm excited about that game, but the fact of the matter is that game probably won't mean anything for both of those teams here. We might be getting a lax effort in that one and a wasted opportunity where we might have seen an unbelievable effort if that game was played within the first 14 weeks of the season, but beggars can't be choosers. It's nice just to see the NFL back in the news here and get excited here about the schedule release come Thursday. But in the NBA, Are we getting back to the basics here? Are the bigs back in play? Listen up. The return of the bigs in the NBA. Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Anthony Davis leading their teams here in the playoffs. Who would have thought? It's usually a guard play. It's usually the guards that win it. Now, granted, I know in the Eastern Conference here, you take a look at James Harden. He actually won two games for the Philadelphia 76ers, but Embiid was absolutely sensational last night. Anthony Davis, for 90% of these playoff games, has been absolutely fantastic. And then there's Nikola Jokic, whether he wants to score 53 points in a game or just have a triple-double in another game. The big men are leading a comeback in a big way and being adaptive. The ability to hit open jump shots, the ability to be great passers and rebounders and running the offense through their individual teams, and also taking a look at Anthony Davis being an absolute eraser on the boards and blocking shots and disrupting your offense, which they're going to need to do that if they want to win tonight against the Warriors. The bigs are back in the NBA, and it's fantastic to watch. Stay tuned for The Morning After and Ben Stevens coming up next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.